The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast. This is the FA Cup final edition of the podcast. We are inside the Wembley Concourse. Myself, Matthew, Luke, Jamin, and Ian. Ian's off talking to someone else. I don't know who he's talking to.
Friends.
We're here. Friends. It's my friends. And everyone's friends today because it is the final of the FA Cup. Luke didn't want to record this because he thought we'd have to say, but we've got lots to say because it's the FA Cup final, mate.
I'm trying not to get so caught up in the emotion that I forget to appreciate the day. But at the same time, so far it's been wicked. We met early doors. You boys got in the pub on the train together. We met at the pub. We've had some nice food. We got into the station, to the stadium. We've had a few beers, mate. I'm filled with equal amounts of nervous excitement and anxiety. I don't know what to say. This is so close to being everything I want it to be for Palace that I'm so scared about it also at the same time. But once that final whistle goes, I just want to enjoy it. So I'm trying to enjoy the day at the moment. You know, we're surrounded by friends, family. Ian's here as well, you know. So it's a nice day.
Ian, you made friends today. So yeah, you're right, bruv. It's all about the emotion today. It's very, it's an emotional day, isn't it, really? You know, we want it to be so much. At the same time, there's a dynamic of trying to enjoy the day, I think, as well. And just trying to take it all in, soak it all up, and really keep the memories of today. But it's a difficult one because, like you say, we feel we are so close. It does feel very close, but at the same time, so far.
I want to try and keep my feet on the ground because I feel like, I mean, look, the semi-final was wicked. I felt like I couldn't analyse the game because it was so emotional and I was so caught up in emotion. I don't think I could probably analyse the game. And that's probably what's going to happen today, towards you, unless we get spanked, which hopefully won't happen. But look, like we said, Rob, we're so close to making this happen for Palace.
Shots.
I really hope this does happen. But looking around us now, you know, friends, family, Ian,
colleagues,
you know, as well, you know, it's people just, everyone, you know what, everyone's smiling. You see a lot of smiles on your face, everyone's happy.
I'm not.
Well,
not after you talk to me like that.
You've got a spare ticket, mate. But everyone's happy, apart from me, and everyone's having a good time. And I really hope that come, you know, what is it, 5:30, 6:30 today, there are more beaming smiles on South London faces here today because I think we deserve it more than Man City, and only by the fact that they've done it before and we haven't. So,
had billions of pounds of foreign money invested in
it. Oh, that too, but just
cheated financial fair play.
I think, well, not proven, but no, I think this will mean
no
more.
No smoke without fire.
This will mean more to Palace fans than it will to Man City fans to win this today. And fuck, I just hope this happens. Come on, Palace. Come on, a Palace.
Yeah, we are really hopeful that today we can do something, and you've got to enjoy the day, you've got to really make the most of it, soak it all in, as we say. But you know, for our listeners who've been with us since what,
2019, 2018,
I was going to say, yeah, five, six years now, you know, you've heard us talk about, you know, in our Palace supporting context, some really good years, right, Premier League consistently, but it's all been so close, so near but so far. And today it feels like it could be a lot closer.
This could be the glory day, bruv. This could be the day. Well, this could be the day that Palace fans will talk about for decades, hundreds of years to come, that Crystal Palace in 2025 lifted the FA Cup.
Well, that's why I was keen to record this, right? So whilst we haven't got much to say, we need to record this moment because it's a special moment. It doesn't come in every year. I'll be kidding the fans in the background because it's pumping here.
And look, I think that's a good time to sign off because we want to enjoy this atmosphere. We want to soak it up. I'm sorry if you can't hear this very well because I'm looking at the bars right now. It looks
peaking.
But look.
At Six Pointer Podcast, as always, thank you for sticking with us. Enjoy the game if you're here today. And as always,
up the Palace!
Hello and welcome to part two of the greatest ever Six Footer podcast we will record. Crystal Palace FA Cup winners 2025. We are here in the Redwood pub, bar, sports bar, whatever it is, at London Bridge. Myself, Matthew, Luke, Ian and Jamin. Boys, how are we doing?
Mate, it's surreal, isn't it? Emotional. As Ian just reminded us, that final whistle, there were a few tears. I would say a horrible game. I didn't enjoy that game of football. Apart from, you know, what was it, 16 minutes in when Eze's goal went in and Dean Henderson's save. I hated that game. It was horrible. And then 10 minutes, what, injury time went up, which felt like half an hour. I think I said to you actually, at 83 minutes. It felt like it had been on 83 minutes for about 10 minutes. But look, we got there. The celebrations afterwards were something to behold. And look, this team, this squad has made history today. And I'm very grateful to have been there to witness it.
Ian, how are you feeling?
Well, obviously I'm delighted. I didn't see it the same way as you, if I'm honest. Obviously got a bit nervy at points, but I actually felt like we played with a great degree of control from the first 10 minutes, which was all Man City. We barely got a touch, never mind got out of our half. It was pretty clear the pattern of the game, which was Man City possession, side to side, Crystal Palace sitting very deep. And although that was the pattern for the whole of the game, and obviously we scored with our first and virtually only attack, and you could argue we rode our luck saving a penalty and so on, I didn't ever really feel it was as anxious or nervous as you. Henderson made a couple of fantastic saves, and maybe I'll wake up in the morning, watch the highlights and realise I've got this one wrong, but sitting thinking about it now, I don't feel like they were rattling the woodwork. I don't feel like they were last ditch tackles. I don't feel like it was an anxious watch, or at least I didn't find it an anxious watch. I thought it probably wasn't a great spectacle for the neutral, but for us, yeah, exactly, who cares? I thought we managed the game and I wasn't actually that nervous. De Bruyne, I'm just watching a kid walk past in a De Bruyne t-shirt. De Bruyne, one of the best midfielders to ever grace the Premier League, had a bit of an off day. I'd say his legs are gone. Bernardo Silva, again, phenomenal player. Didn't really seem that influential. Doku was very good, and a couple of times he was 1v1. He looked really dangerous, but I thought we did a very good job of doubling up against him. Haaland, I think we were talking on the way home. Haaland had a couple of chances. There's one where he was at full stretch, diverted back, and Henderson made a great save. I suggested there might be another one when we watch the highlights. But again, he didn't feel like he was always knocking on the door, about to score any moment. It was interesting that he had the ball in his hands for the penalty and they took it off of him. So, yeah, all in all, mate, I'm delighted. And, yeah, I didn't find it as stressful a watch.
Mate, I'm absolutely buzzing. This is up there, right? This is up there with best days of life. I never thought I'd see this day. It's taken 42 years of my life to see us win something. Like, the emotions at full time, pretty full on, I'm not going to lie. I really struggled to contain things, and I didn't contain it. And do you know what? Like, the game itself, a massive blur.
But that was like the semi, I felt as well. Like, you know, obviously there were key points, key goals, but it was hard to analyse the game because it was just, you know, you could say a complete Palace performance. And, you know, I can't analyse today's game apart from I felt that we were under the cosh quite a lot. I haven't looked at the stats. I'd imagine we had about 12% possession.
I heard someone at the end of the game, I heard them near us, said 21% or something like that. That's true or not. But yeah, like, it just felt like we didn't have a lot of the ball. It felt like I never really thought they were massively going to wallop us. It felt like they had a few chances. Like, oh, like, look, Dino saved the penalty, right? He saved a fantastic header. There was the looping one from Doku. And there's one more that comes to mind.
There was a curler, which we, when you watched it from behind, we sort of headed for the top corner and he got a hand.
Was that the Doku one?
Maybe it was
Doku. But there were three, four chances where he like pulled off fantastic saves, but like it didn't feel like it was men against boys, didn't you feel like we were getting battered? And that's the worry you had. If they turned up, like I said to you, like, didn't I, at the start, I said, don't concede early. Like, we have to not concede early.
And you said we scored early.
Yeah. But that, do you know what, that early goal, how against the run of play, that
feel like? Massively, yeah.
Like, you took me surprised, didn't it? It was like, wow.
And I think that obviously gave us a boost as well, because we'd been under the cosh for the first 10 minutes, and that was our probably our first breakaway. I mean, I can't remember, it's all a bit of a blur, but I think it was our first breakaway, and, you know, a similar goal to the semi, in the sense that it was sort of cut in from
down the
side, yeah.
Back,
and then Eze cuts it in and finishes, and oh, mate, the absolute scenes. I think I picked you off the floor, bruv. Picked you off the floor, Ian. There were just bodies everywhere. It was,
I picked my own jaw off the floor.
Yeah, it was an incredible moment, an incredible day, bruv. You know, just I don't know where the time's gone. We're sitting here, it's 10 to 9. You know, it doesn't feel like 2 hours ago. We're in Wetherspoons at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know.
What time did I meet you this morning at the station last night?
Yeah,
we
got the 9:42. We got, yeah, 9:42.
So we got the 9:42. Yeah. And now it's 9 o'clock now.
Yeah, 12 hours have just gone. Well, not lost them in my life, but they've been a fantastic period of time. But I just, it just feels very surreal. And I don't think I'll appreciate it until tomorrow, until the beer's worn off, until I've got my voice back. And, I realised that we're going to Lithuania away on like some random Thursday evening in November. Like, hell, this is going to be immense.
Just to bring it back to football, there's something interesting which I don't have the answer to, but statistically then, they had, let's say, 80% of possession or thereabouts. They had a penalty, which we saved, and we've just listed off 4 or 5 opportunities where Henderson made fantastic saves and kept us in the game. We had, I think, 2 shots on target, including the goal.
What was the other one? I don't remember the other one.
I heard someone, I can't even name you the second chance.
Oh, the one, it was like a Gomez scramble, wasn't it?
Yes, maybe, yeah.
And the keeper.
I completely forgot the Munoz goal that was ruled off for offside as well.
I don't know why that was, right, but I didn't really celebrate that because I just felt like something didn't feel right in the build-up.
I thought the keeper sort of dropped it, and I thought it was going to be given as a foul on the keeper because he sort of like got the ball. I thought they were going to say that it was a foul on him, and that's what it was, but eventually it was offside. Look, again, we haven't seen any of this back yet. It might be blindingly obvious, like the penalty as well, which I was adamant that wasn't a penalty. You know, it looked from right in front of us that he got the ball, but no, they've got VAR and all sorts now, ain't they? So obviously I'm wrong.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we're here and we're having a beer and we're celebrating Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup.
I thought we managed the game very well. Like, they came out, you said don't concede early. They come out, first 10 minutes, they battered us. They actually come out and we didn't get a sniff, but we didn't panic. We stayed calm, and obviously when a chance came, we scored. So come out, don't concede early, survive the onslaught, tick. You get a goal. Obviously our tails are up, but then that was what, about 20, 25 minutes? So then already...
Goal, 16 minutes, wasn't it? I think, yeah.
Was it that early? Fine. So then, already you're thinking about, right, half an hour, let's hold this to half time, and it ebbs and flows, but we did that. So survive the onslaught, nick a goal, hold on to the lead. You come out second half, again they threw the kitchen sink at us. Pendulum come back our way. We think we've scored, yeah. And we when was the penalty? Second half,
36 minutes.
The penalty is saved, it's a big boost for us. But it's, if I was City, I'd still be thinking, right, we've just had a penalty save, come on, we can get them before half time. So we rode out that period from the penalty save to the half time. After half time, they come out, they give it a right old go. We score a goal, there's that long VAR check. Turns out it's ruled off, chalked off. That again is a big boost to Man City. So they're then thinking, here we go. We're a bit deflated because we haven't scored, but we kept our composure. We saw that period through. And by the time it got to injury time and they held up 10 minutes, which to be fair, I think was fairly accurate because Gay was down for about 3 minutes, I counted, just with him alone. not to mention everything else that occurred. So I guess my point is we managed the emotions and the periods of the game really well.
Well, I'm pleased the players on the pitch did, because I didn't very well, but Chris Richards, I thought was absolutely outstanding. Obviously, Dean Henderson, man of the match without a doubt, obviously made so many influential saves, obviously penalty save. I thought Daniel Munoz did really well down the wing as well. It was a real threat. But to me, Chris Richards was immense. I thought he was fantastic. I said to you pre-match, I was a little bit worried about Kamada, in a sense. I thought you needed Lerma in the middle there with Wharton, but he was amazing. Lerma himself came on and you know, for Gaye and filled in seamlessly at centre-back there. You know, you wouldn't have... I don't want to do Gaye a disservice, but you wouldn't have known he was missing in that sense, you know. It was man for man, you know, JP doing his best, toiling away. Ismail Assar getting those few breaks and trying to, you know, create a little bit of space. And Eze doing what he did, obviously, with a finish as well as everything up for the game. And, oh, my God, bro.
You can name all 11 of them.
But they will go down in history now. That team will go down in history now. They will be remembered as well as Eddie McGoldrick going down the wing. And you know, it's
on par with the Hillsborough 11.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Clint Hill. Yeah. You know, Sean Derry, Julian Spironi, Paddy McCarthy, Matt Lawrence, blah, 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 blah.
Joel Ward as well, who obviously, you know, wasn't in the Hillsborough, but lifted the trophy. Three, 4 days after announcing he was leaving the club. And, I mean, it's weird to say this, but it was perfect. You know, that moment for Palace was perfect. And we don't have those moments as Palace fans. That's why this feels weird.
Yeah, but this is the thing, right? It was written today that Kevin De Bruyne goes off with swan song, wins the FA Cup, last Man City game, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I think the difference today was that Palace, for whatever reason today, had the story in their favour. Whatever that turn of events meant that came today being, and you can look back on it, right? A series of events building to this game. We battled through some, you know, the Stockport, the Doncaster, obviously the derby against Millwall, you know, all convincing victories. The Fulham game, ridiculously convincing away as well from home.
Solid performance.
Semi-final, like, absolute smash and grab times three. But, like, what a performance. And then today, just like, yeah, like you're saying, early goal. But every man today played his part in a fantastic outcome. And, mate, this is it. Like, seriously, can I just say something that's a bit emotional, a bit deep, but I die a happy man now, having seen Crystal Palace win the FA Cup. I never thought I would see Palace win anything. Seriously, 42 years of seeing... Well, okay, 42 years. I started watching when I was, what, 8, 9, whatever I was. No. How old was I? 1990 is my first real memory, because it was on the telly, so 7 years old. I never, ever thought from that point Palace win something. I'm done, mate. I've completed it.
Yeah, bro, because we've got to go to Bulgaria on a Thursday night in November, so...
And the Charity Shield,
obviously...
It's not finished, so don't die just yet, please, because...
Wait till I edit it and put it out.
Hopefully I get a few more of these, but do you know what? I've done it. I've achieved it. That's probably why I got so emotional at the end, because I never, ever, ever thought it was going to happen.
And I know, obviously, it was nice as well to be able to appreciate it, obviously, with my brother. Obviously, you know, nothing will beat being at the final with my brother and obviously my friends, and experiencing that moment was special. And yeah, cheers, mate. It was a special moment, and what hit me as well was that I couldn't stop smiling. I came out of that stadium, looked around, I couldn't stop smiling. I felt this grin across my face. You looked around, you saw everyone smiling, everyone was happy. We're here at London Bridge, bruv. I'm looking outside, there's people in red and blue shirts. There's a bloke in a 1994 red... I'm on that shirt, the Barbero one.
And Rosette, it's wicked.
It's wicked, yeah. But there's people out there, right? Everyone's happy. Like, this is a transformative moment, I think, for the club, in the sense that, you know, we've got European football now. You can attract, potentially, other players, and perhaps even more importantly, you can keep players.
That's it, mate.
People like Mark Gay, people like Eze. You know, Adam Wharton, players that if you hadn't won the FA Cup and hadn't got Europa League football, you know, bigger clubs will be sniffing around and you perhaps lose them, and now you've got a hook. There's something that you might be able to keep them now, and also add to that as well.
you know, you can supplement the squad with, so I think, some real quality now. You know, players that you can attract who want to come and play Europa League. And that's exciting, you know, that's very exciting, you know, even though we do have to play Liverpool in the Charity Shield in whatever it is.
Yeah, but mate, to be in the Charity Shield, like, we are going to play, and Tuesday is going to be ridiculous. Tuesday night we get to play Wolves at Selhurst Park as the FA Cup winners, FA Cup holders.
Yeah, that's going to be a party and a half. I think I said that to you in the week, you know, like, if we do win, like, that Tuesday night, you know, I imagine the cup's going to be there. I don't think anyone really cares. And we can't finish low in 12th. I mean,
we're undefeated since that cup win.
You know, it's just, mate. Yeah, it is a special, special time to be a Crystal Palace fan. At
this is why
soak it in, drink it in, people, because these are the glory years. I don't know if it's going to get much better. It hasn't got much better than this in my lifetime, anyway. And yeah, we're certainly going to enjoy this tonight. I need another Guinness.
Jamie's gone to the bar, mate.
So I was thinking about Europe now. All right, I'm not saying I think we could win the Europa League.
Of course we can now. But this is it, Jack. This is it, Ian.
Decent quality Premier League teams, of which Crystal Palace is one, swept away Villa, beaten Man City, and that's, I know it's a little bit of a smash and grab today, but, you know, we've shown consistently over years we can beat teams like Liverpool, we can beat teams like Villa on our day. Beat teams like Liverpool, beat teams like City on our day. We've definitely got that in us. So if you put that into Europe now, provided we manage the travel and the adrenaline and nerves and so on, we start playing some mid-ranked Lithuanian team.
Yes!
Or we start it getting in a group stage against Spanish or Portuguese mid-tables. Maybe Spain's a bad example, but Portuguese or Dutch or... There's a lot of leagues in Italy. A lot of leagues in Europe. That once you go down past the top three or four places, the quality thins out much faster than it does in the Premier League. So,
look at Scandinavia. You know, obviously I know about Denmark. Yeah. Obviously you've got Copenhagen, Bromley, Midtjylland. Apart from that, you know, I think Palace could beat any one of those teams in their day. Even them as well.
So I would say, yeah, that probably proves my point, or at least supports it, that in a group stage of the Europa Conference League, or where is that what we'll go into now?
Well, no, it's the league. Well, I assume, I don't know, I have to check, I assume we have qualifiers and then we will go into the league.
So whatever it's, because it's come up against in the qualifiers for the Europa League are going to be piss poor. And I'll come back to my point, provided we can manage the travel, the additional games, the just the excitement and the adrenaline, I think we've got easy enough quality to do a bit there.
Well, To add a bit of fuel to your point there, Ian, we are going to finish above the two finalists of the Europa League this season in Tottenham and Man United. So, and I think we've taken, how many points have we taken from Man United this season? I can't remember. Anyway, we just beat Tottenham. You know, I mean, so we are finishing above them. We've taken points off these teams. So,
despite the fact that United smashed them twice, I look at a team like Athletic Bilbao and I would say that's a step too far for us. I think Athletic are a quality outfit capable of much more probably than they've done this season. So I would say if we started getting deep in the competition, we would find ourselves potentially out of our depth and we would come up against who we really are. But
Ian,
early rounds, I think
at the moment,
that's definitely do a bit.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, that's the thing. Like, we're going to have an experience. I think Palace fans are going to have an experience.
And players.
And the players will, of course, as well. But, like, this is something, like Matthew said, I don't think I'd ever see in my lifetime. The fact that we're going to be going to random places on Wednesday and Thursday night. And Palace fans are going to be taking, you know, Thursdays and Fridays off work. I need to sort my annual leave out. Because I'm going to be there, you know, ticket or not, I want to be there. I want to experience it. I want to be there with you, with my brother, with Jamming, with whoever wants to go there.
Not necessarily in that order.
Whatever. You know, give me a piece of shit £16 flight at 4 a.m. from Stansted. I don't care. I'm going to be there, and it is going to be, these are going to be moments, memories which we are making together and that you'll never forget. And, you know, we might never repeat. This might be a one and done thing, but this is going to be so good. Come on!
I wouldn't be surprised if the experience, not only is it a good experience for the fans, but improves the players as well.
Yeah. Mate, come on Ian, you can laugh enough on this pod, come on.
He's got to get a few more beers in him first. Jammin's gone to the bar because I'm going to drink his pint here because...
Mate, we're in the pub and people are flying Palace flags. This is
red and blue faces.
This is absolutely amazing.
Scenes, absolute scenes. Ian's going for a wee. You know, this is... Jesus Christ. This is...
But this is why I wanted to pod. So earlier on, yeah, right, we very nearly didn't pod because we were standing the concourse, nerves were starting to build up.
Yours.
No, I've drunk my drink a long time ago, mate. Who said that?
Jammin ain't drinking that. We're drinking
Jammin's drink. Things are starting to build. It was like, oh, you know, will we, won't we? I don't know what it was, mate. Look, I'm not going to sound like big-headed here. I predicted the one who wins today, but didn't I?
But I put money on it, bro. I said, might have won £267 or whatever it was.
You cleared up today, mate.
I did all right.
Something just felt right today, and that's why I said we have to put before the game to keep a record of this day, because this day goes down in history. We did it together.
Yeah.
We were there together, right? Mate, we need to pause because I need to have another drink, and we'll come back in part three for some more reaction. And I'm going to cheer Ian up before then as well. So come back for part two.
Oh,
and
mate.
Between now then, up the panic!
Hello and welcome back to part three of the Six Pointer podcast. The FA Cup winners, holders edition continues. It's now Sunday evening. Myself, Matthew and Luke are joined by legend of the pod, Mr. Kevin Smith. Kevin, lovely to see you always, but even more lovely on this occasion, right?
Mate, does it get to look any better on the pod? I don't mean because I'm on it. I mean because of what we're talking and how we're finishing off the most amazing weekend, right? You have children born if you're lucky, and that's great. You get married if you're lucky. That's great. Not always great, but it's normally great. And then your team win at Wembley and win a major trophy. And you have to then say, can I say to my wife, that's better than having children? Not really, but I'm going to say it anyway. Come on, Palace!
It depends how brave you are, I guess.
Yeah, I'm brave, mate.
I mean, we had a wonderful day yesterday. And people who listen to part one and two of this podcast will have heard some of our, the build-up to the game in the concourse. And then part two was in the Redwood Sports Bar in London Bridge. Which was full of Palace fans, which is absolutely brilliant, and just the atmosphere, just everyone smiling. It was lovely. But tell us about your day, Kev.
Oh, mate, it's incredible. Well, my day started quite badly because my girls' district team were playing in a final at Maidstone, and we lost to Brighton, which wasn't a great start. But I got straight up to my brother-in-law's, who were in South London, and we got the train into London Bridge. Had a very leisurely tube ride in to Wembley, and then I'm stood outside the box park at Wembley, and who do I bump into? Mark Bright. So just when you think life can't get any better, you bump into Mark Bright, and the first thing I said to him was, it's Mark Bright straight from the kickoff, which was exactly the word John Motson used in 1990 when he scored after 13 seconds in our cup equalising goal against Liverpool in the 90 semi-final. So we had a little laugh about that, and then I got a nice photo with him, which, as you know, I posted on one of our messages. So Lukey then says to me, are you here? Kept it quiet because I only got my ticket on Friday night at 20-7. Get in there.
Oh, wow.
That started the day, and the rest is just, as I'm sure you guys have felt, you can't legislate for it. You haven't got the words because you don't want to think it's going to happen. And then when it happens, you just can't believe it. And I'd be lying, Matt, if I didn't say I've had a lot of tears last night. Today, I just said to your brother before we started recording, I've watched all the BBC footage again last night when we got back. And I've watched my son recorded the whole ITV footage for 4 hours and 15 minutes. And I've watched all that as well today. It's been great, mate. So life's good. What about you guys?
Well, I'm glad you said about the crying thing, because I can't stop crying. I just keep having bouts of getting really upset with it. So I watched bits back throughout the day today on telly, whether it's I remembered something from the day or like saw things on social media in the last 24 hours or so. But yeah, like when I got in last night about midnight, I just sat downstairs in the kitchen for an hour, just like just sitting really and just like just reliving bits and like processing what had happened, because it's kind of like a doesn't really feel real, and in some ways it doesn't still now.
It won't, and
probably for some time as well, right?
Well, 120 years, but,
Yeah, so that was last night, and then yeah, and I think then just like I struggled to sleep last night. And my cats decided 5 o'clock, as always, it's time to get up.
Yeah.
So I was awake from then, that's for sure. So yeah, it's been a bit of a difficult day in that respect. I feel absolutely knackered as well as hungover and very emotional. But like, look, I'm not moaning. Like, it's fantastic in every way. But yeah, can wow, what a weekend.
Can I just say, Matt, before we go to Luke, if you're being troubled with pussy at 5:15 in the morning, mate, never knock it.
I don't know what to say. Luke, can you top that?
Probably not, mate. And I'm going to leave that in for the edit as well.
Hold on. You told me we were doing this live. If you're editing, I'm not happy with you.
Well, it depends on what you say, Kev. I could get you cancelled. No, I mean, bruv, much like what you said, and similar to my experience of the semi-final, the day after the semi-final, I just were drained. Like, it was such... I feel equal amounts drained, like just ridiculously elated, and yeah, in disbelief as well. And like you said, I don't think it's gonna hit home until, or maybe it's we see Palace walk out of Wembley at the Charity Shield against Liverpool the week before the season starts, or maybe it's gonna be what is it the 29th of August when the Europa League draw is made and you see Crystal Palace's name in the league getting drawn in the league phase of the Europa League, but. I was saying to Kevin before you joined, bruv, that I wore my Palace shirt today, of course. I had to wear my Palace shirt, walking up and down Sid and my room a couple of times. The number of people you get shouts for Eagles and up the Palace and the toots. I say the pinnacle for me was the 450 bus driver winding down his window, giving it a couple of old loud toots on the horn and giving me an up the Palace. And also there was a couple of lads who I don't think were into football, but walking on the high street, but I overheard him say, yeah, see Palace won the FA Cup. He's like, yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? And it was stuff like that because, you know, for me, the FA Cup is, you know, still very, very special. It's you know, the greatest cup competition in the world. And that's the reach it's got. Now, the people who probably don't even follow football know that Palace have won the FA Cup. Yeah. And, you know, and like you said, Kim, it's hard to put into words. I'm just, on a very tired cloud nine.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect, mate, perfect. I think the thing is as well, as you say, Luke, it's just bull. You know, we can all talk about neutrals and who wanted people to win, but I saw at the end of the BBC's footage last night, they had Gary Lineker with, obviously, Steve Parrish and with his son. And Steve said something really, I thought was really nice. He said, for all the people who have given you encouragement, support, you know, when things weren't going great, you know, this is for all those type people as well. And he said, look at it, it's great. You know, we are the 45th winners of the FA Cup. But I know we're biased because we're Palace, but everyone looked so happy yesterday. The players looked happy, whether you listen to BBC or ITV's footage, which I've watched since I've got home after the game last night. You know, everyone, you can see the way it was real. It was a bit like when England women won the Euros a few years ago on home soil. Everyone loved the raw emotion of how they handled it because it was nothing was staged. It was all first time. They're going to the crowd, everyone's in tears. It's just magical. And people buy into that. People buy into that because it's authenticity. And that, I think, is what will be overriding memory for a lot of people who aren't even football fans, that was amazing. And I'm so proud that is our club. And that's Crystal Palace in a nutshell. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, like you said, Kev, the authenticity is there, and that's why I think what people connect with, like the neutrals, as it were. You know, there's so much stuff on social media. I try to limit how much social media I consume, but the last 24 hours, 48 hours has been ridiculous. The bit that gets me and had me welling up a few times today is that bit when they're recording the crowd, when people are just bursting into tears. And that makes me go again, because it reminds me of the final whistle of me and Matthew having that embrace and just, yeah. Unbelievable. This is the best thing ever. Palace have won the FA Cup. This is mental.
Yeah.
You can say it a few more times.
Yeah. If you could bottle that feeling for just that moment in time. I don't know how it was for you guys, but obviously because we didn't get to catch up just before the game, because I must admit I wanted to get in the ground and just soak it up. So I was in my seat at 3 o'clock and just soaking it up, watching what was going on, looking at people, because I love doing the people watching, and we are a great club to people watch, whether at Wembley, wherever we are, you know, home or away. And it was just so good to see it and just, you know, absolutely soak every moment up. And then when the 10-minute ball went up, I was as disappointed as I was it was 10, you know, with every, I kept looking up every minute, another minute's gone, another minute's gone. Now, I can remember when Punch scored, obviously, in 2016, I started crying after that went in, because it was such a dour game, that one. And we scored and I thought, well, we're going to win this now. And I was in tears. And then Rooney went past about 7 of our players inside 80 seconds and they equalised. I didn't feel the way City were playing, that they were going to break us down, and actually thought, and then when that shot went, I think it was Doku, I was so pleased it was him who missed that last shot because he cheated most of the game. But the reality of it was when it went wide, and then you just knew, we all started crying because we knew there was about 20 seconds to go. And we were going to win the cup. And it was just, you can't legislate for it, because you don't ever want to allow yourself to think you're going to win something. And all of a sudden, my wife and kids said to me today, Dad, you can no longer say you're never going to win anything in your lifetime, because your team have. And that's all I'm going to say. Matt.
It's magical. I struggled at the end. I was adamant that Palace were going to win from the minute we scored the goal. That was it.
Wow.
I predicted a 1-0. Luke could tell you at time was it 11 o'clock, whatever it was, in Baker Street. I said 1-0. I said we just don't let them score. Don't concede early. That was my mantra. If we don't concede early, we stay in the game, we've got a chance. And obviously, we scored after it was 16 minutes, which was ridiculous against the one to play, obviously. But from that moment on, I kept saying to Luke, and he backed me up, I kept saying, it's happening. I was adamant it was going to happen.
Yeah.
From that minute on, I was just confident. And like you say, the final 10 minutes, when you put 10 minutes, it's like, ah. I didn't find the 10 minutes actually went that long, because I was going, that's another minute gone. I kept the traction in my head going by saying that. And I had moments during that last 10 minutes when, the ball blasted wide, or Henderson saved it, or whatever it was, when I nearly cried, because I was like, it's actually happening. In my brain, it was allowing it to process. And then when the final whistle went, I lost it. And I know Luke did too. And it was... I'm very proud and lucky my brother was there, right, to share that moment with, because never ever will forget it. And no one can ever take it away, right? They can have our decision all they like. They're not going to take away the fact we've now lifted the trophy. So,
you've captured it brilliantly, and you were there with your brother, which, you know, is just incredible. And I think that's the thing. It's family, it's stuff. Palace's family, right, as a club. I mean, as I say, there's been some great footage on the telly just of what it means and what the club means. And it's just brilliant, mate. It's brilliant. And I have to say, just before we go to Luke, I must admit, so I was there with my brother-in-law. And when I had found out I'd got tickets on Friday night and phoned him, he just didn't believe it. He thought I was winding him up. He thought it was a cruel hoax, which it wasn't, because his wife was Gaia and Deals and Joe, my cousin, my sister-in-law and her son. So he wasn't going because his wife was going. So to be able to take him, and we just sat there, and it was unbelievable. But he did look at me after about 13 minutes, and we almost sort of said to each other, do you think we're going to touch the ball? I said, I'm not sure. But the minute that ball went and we broke and it went out to the right, we were confident that we were going to score. And when it hit the back of the net, it was just like pandemonium. When the Munoz goal went in, I said to him, if we get a second goal, the roof's coming off, right? And he just looked at me and I went, trust me, if the second one goes in. And for that minute when we thought we'd scored the second goal, I can't quite describe what was going on in my head. And then when to have it taken away, it was just like, are you doing this to us? Is this really happening? So I'd love to hear how it felt for you guys, A, on the pen, then the second goal, which was then disallowed.
Well, I wish I was as confident as you two that we're going to win it. I said to Matthew last night, I might have said in the pod, apologies if I sound like a broken record, I did not enjoy that game. Apart from the goal and the penalty save, the actual game itself, I struggled to actually enjoy it. There was too much pressure. But afterwards, obviously, once the final whistle went, the relief was immense. But during the football game, I just thought, you know, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And when that goal was disallowed, a bit like the Villa penalty miss, Mateta missing the penalty, I thought, no, not now. Come on. Don't give them this boost. Don't give them something out of nothing to keep. And credit to Palace, because we were resilient. We were outstanding. Chris Richards was outstanding. I mean, to a man, they were, weren't they? Obviously, Daniel Munoz got man of the match. Dean Henderson. Without Dean Henderson, Palace don't win the cup. He was, yeah. You know, I mean, everyone of that team will go down now in Palace folklore. But him especially, you know, he had such a huge part in Palace lifting the cup. He was a man possessed, you know, that save from Doku with the strong wrist on it was incredible. Textbook. I mean, you look at his set position, but the way he sort of he telegraphs it, the reach, the strength of the hand to push it up, it was a perfect performance from so many Crystal Palace players, and it needed to be, didn't it? Because Man City are that good, and we frustrated the hell out of them, and that was probably shown in Pep's petulance at full time with whatever he said to Dean Henderson. So apparently it was something like, oh, you didn't deserve that or something like that, which caused a bit of a ruckus. But yeah, we ain't got time for that. Palace lifted the cup. We ain't got time for sore losers. This is a time to rejoice and try and take in what we've achieved. And it was nice to see the goalkeepers union come into the Dean's rescue there as well.
It won't sink in. Trust me, Luke, it won't sink in for quite a while yet. And you've got to really go to work as well. Some of it will start to sink in, but it won't sink in for quite a while. There will be so many memories that will just come to us all as fans just over the next few days. I mean, leaving the ground and just waiting to get back on the Jubilee line in the tunnel when that, and they're singing their songs. And it was just, the only thing I was desperately hoping they were going to sing a song about Matt. And if I'd had any voice last night and any courage, sung it on the way back. There's nothing that hurt me more than we all left after the Chelsea semi-final 3 years ago and they were singing 2-0 on your big day out. I was desperate, and if I'd had any minerals, I would have had the courage to sing 1-0 on our big day out, 1-0 on our big day out. But I didn't have the courage to go with it. But I wish I had, because it would felt as though we'd closed that little chapter, that we gum out and we don't win. We came out and we won, and most of the pundits were predicting Palace to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. Although we were underdogs, a lot of the pundits were saying they felt Palace would do it. And the way they were saying they thought we would do it was the way we did it on the break. No one lived with it. It was beautiful. Sorry, Matt, I've cut across you, mate.
No, I was just going to say, like, picking up what you said about like the penalty and the disallowed goal. So the penalty, I didn't think it was a penalty watching it live. And actually watching it back, you can see it going either way, because he does get the ball. And I guess the sequencing of the contact is what the issue is. But in the moment, and Luke, you remember this, I was saying, I don't know, that's a penalty. It's not a penalty. It's a good... Actually, when he made the challenge, I said, that's a great challenge, because I saw the direction of the ball going. The thing about the penalty itself was that, to Luke's point about the save, if you watch where the ball finishes when he saves it with his hands, it stops pretty close to him, and I'm on the rebound, it's Haaland, isn't it, chasing it in. I think if Henderson pushes it further out away from him, it goes closer to Haaland and he probably scores, because it's him versus Henderson. Thank God he weren't in goal. But the disallowed goal, I didn't celebrate it because it didn't look right in the build up to me. So yeah. I was like, oh, hang on a minute. And then when they did the VAR check, I remember saying to Luke, I don't think it's going to be a goal. It was going to be a goal. People were going nuts. And I didn't want that moment that you said, Kev, about where like the roof goes off. We think we've done it because it's 2-0 and then it hasn't. So I was very sort of cautious at that point. Like Lou said, I didn't massively enjoy the game, but I thought Palace were very good throughout it. Like, I thought, from my perspective, it was grim watching, but I felt confident in Palace's seeing it through.
I just thought, Matt, we were so incredibly disciplined. I mean, I've never seen, obviously, I don't get the chance to go every week like you guys do. So I love a defender who gets low, and to see Munoz get as low as he does when they were doubling up on Doku, it was like an art form, actually, the way Palace defended. And actually, I think City played it to our hands, because Kevin De Bruyne had their only shot, I believe, from outside the box in the 92nd minute. And what I couldn't work out from City's point of view is every now and then try something different, because they kept going, we kept working them across. And actually, because they weren't doing it really quick, that played to our advantage. The only time they did that quick bit of football, with the greatest respect, was when they got the penalty, because it was a quick bit of movement and then they were inside us. But they didn't do that for the rest of the game, and they very rarely put many balls in. If you think they put that first ball in after about 5 minutes where Hendo pulled off a really good save, but they didn't put any other balls into the box early, apart from the other one, which was which I think is still as top a moment as Hendo's save, for different reasons, is the Chris Richards header in the first minute of the second half from under the crossbar when Haaland's got a tap in. You know, there was some heroic defending, bodies thrown on the line. It was just, I mean, there was one point, I think it was right towards the end of the first half, where Hendo makes a save, it comes out, and then De Bruyne puts it over the bar. And that's where I think, and they're fist bumping each other, their arms around each other. And I just felt we wanted it more than them. And it was just, you know, they're all legends. You know, I know they used to say the thing on Sky Sports, you know, when Vince and Company scored that goal and Man City won the league, you know, where do you want your statue, Vince and Company? Well, I feel like saying, well, Ollie, where do you want yours? And then the other 15 of you, where would you like yours as well? Because I think if they want to put one in my front garden, I'm all over it. We'll have one over here in Kent as well. So, you know, it's just amazing. I'm so, so proud of them. I'm so pleased for not just the club. I'm pleased for South London, actually. You know, I really am pleased for everyone, because it gives everyone a lift, right? You know, Rachel Rees wants economic growth. Just go to South London now, trust me, because it's coming big time. It's coming big time.
Especially in the pubs, okay, after that.
Pubs, mate. Well, not on me, mate, with me. 3 cups of tea, but I'm making up a bit tonight. Look, that's my fourth glass, don't tell him.
Kev, I wish you were there with us last night in that Redwood bar. You'd have absolutely loved it, mate, seriously. And we're going to have to get together to have a proper celebration anyway.
Well, I will, please, boys, because we've got to do a proper end of season pod, and you know that means I'm going to drink 2 beers and fall over.
I mean, I've never seen Luke dance so much in such a short space of time, that's definitely sure. But yeah, I mean, they just like, that was the epitome of it, though. We're like in that place, just everyone smiling, laughing. You know, I had some great conversations with people taking a wee. You know, I had some really great, deep and meaningful conversations. Like, I said to one bloke standing there taking a wee, you know, and I said to him, I'd never in my lifetime thought, and I'll be honest with you, I never ever thought I was going to see Palace win anything. I'd kind of just accepted that we're going to have so many near misses, so many like, you know, it's what, so what, or if moments, if only moments. And I just kind of, I've kind of accepted that after my 42, you know, you kind of just.
Not anymore, Matthew.
But yeah, and there we were having a wee, and we agreed that was definitely a turning point in life. But I don't know.
But when you also look at it like yesterday, I mean, you know, we've all seen the footage of, well, I'm sure you guys would have seen it, Covent Garden, you know, Baker Street. It's just an incredible colour explosion in that. And, you know, it's just wonderful. And to see what we do, and it's just to see people smiling and happy. And actually, you know what? You have to embrace these moments, because, you know, and it's just, as you say, you can talk about it forever, but you've got nothing to say, because it's those things that doesn't need words. Because if you're a Palace fan, you just look at each other and smile. I was taking the dog for a walk this morning. I haven't taken my scarf off for 2 days. It looks really weird, just a scarf on, but if it fits, then you've got to go for it, right? And there was a young man there this morning where I was taking the dog for a walk, and he had a Palace shirt on, and I just heard him shout out, "Eagles!" And it was just, it's just, your face just goes like that. It's incredible. So, unbelievable weekend. Soak it up, boys. Don't go to bed too early. Just go and soak it up and enjoy it and keep smiling. And if anyone says to you, "Have you ever won the FA Cup?" You can say, "Yes. Yes, I have. And we're the 45th winners of the FA Cup." So don't forget it.
I wonder if it's going to actually sink in on Bank Holiday Monday, because I assume there's going to be an open top bus. You know, they did allude to something on the website. You know, as we were kind of walking down Wembley Way, we got the notification on my phone. I had a look. They said keep it Monday the 26th. Keep it. Okay, I wonder what it is. Maybe it's going to be sort of the training ground to Selhurst or the route or something like that. I don't know. But I think maybe when we see it there, you see Oliver Glasner, all the players, top of a bus, you know, holding the FA Cup, and we're going to be there at the side of the road going absolutely mental. And that is, I hope that's the moment for me. That it all makes sense. And I think, wow, this we've actually done it, haven't we? We've actually done it.
Yeah. Luke, that's brilliant. I mean, tonight's not the night to talk about what will it mean for our players moving forward. Will we lose some? Will we bring in new players? You know, we can talk about that another time, but You've just said it brilliantly, Luke. You know, can you imagine? I hadn't even thought of that. What's it going to be like when on the top of an open top bus, there's a cup? There's an FA Cup. Listen, stay talking to yourselves. I'll be back in 10 seconds. Just stay talking.
Too excited, isn't it?
We haven't also touched on the other thing that we get out of this, which you and I kind of joked about last night. But Thursday nights.
I mean, obviously, Thursday nights at Selhurst is going to be incredible. You know, having, you know, I don't know, Athletic Bilbao or FC Copenhagen or I don't know, Ghent on a Thursday night at Selhurst under lights is going to be special. But I mean, given how hard it's been to get tickets for Wembley, maybe I'm being a bit optimistic, thinking we might be able to go on to some of these trips. But you never know. You never know. And if we can, I want to be in a, you know, a Belgian square in a town on a Thursday lunchtime, drinking Leffe Blonde and having mulls, and just thinking to myself, I'm going to go to a football game and watch Palace play, you know, Club Bruges in about 2 hours' time. This is brilliant. Yeah, this is what I do on Thursdays now, you know.
Do you know what? You could just do that, can't you? We could just do that. What's he got? Yeah. He's got a ball.
So what I wanted to do, I know this ain't great pod stuff, but boys, just to show you. So obviously, you know, obviously my M's played, and us three have played at Selhurst Park on May the 4th, 2010, 2 days after we drew against Sheffield Wednesday, as you know, and when the club were in administration, and that was just as Steve was coming in to buy them with a consortium, you may recall. And we thought at that point that I'd scored one of the last goals down the Sainsbury's end, you may recall, back in the day. Luke's goal was offside, but it was never offside.
Never offside.
Now, you know, I got man of the match that day, and I got a ball, right? But when I went back there after 2 years ago, after my daughter, I was playing on Selhurst Park's pitch, and in the stands behind the goal was this football. It was, because Palace had played in an FA Cup game, and it's an official FA Emirates Cup game ball that had been used at Selhurst Park, and we found it.
Wicked.
So we picked it up, and we brought it home with all our balls because I was coaching there that day and Emily was in goal. And Emily said to me, one day, Dad, you never know. So all I'm going to say is official Emirates FA Cup ball from Selhurst Park. And we are now the current holders of the FA Cup. That's all I'm saying, boys.
It's a much better looking ball than one that was used yesterday as well. I don't know if you saw it. It's like a silver sort of strange...
Yeah.
Oh, yes, then. But talking about that, right, I want to get your boys' thoughts on this, right? Because this is obviously divided a lot of people. This shirt, right, the home shirt I'm wearing now, right, this will forever be now the shirt that Crystal Palace won the FA. I mean, at the start of the season, I wasn't a fan. But, I mean, I've been on a perfectly reputable website today and bought about six of them with an FA Cup badge. And they're going to arrive in about 6 weeks from China. But, you know, and I'm going to take them to the club shop and get Winners 25 printed on in that gold font. And I'm going to frame it. You know, I wasn't a fan of the shirt. But I must admit, it is a bit special now, isn't it? And I might just have to go and buy a pair of the shorts as well, just to wear on holiday, maybe.
Matt, can I ask you very quickly, how did Phoebe respond?
Oh, it was lovely. So we tried having a conversation like in the trophy award bit, you know, that phase after the game. And I managed finally to get the phone to connect because my phone just went. I was receiving loads of messages. My phone was going nuts. I was getting texts and WhatsApps. It was going crazy. But I couldn't reply to anything or couldn't call out.
When you didn't respond to anything to us.
Say again, sorry?
Just assume you were miserable when you didn't reply.
I was still just sitting there crying, Kev. So, yeah, I couldn't get anything out. So all of a sudden it connected and Phoebe was in the living room with Emma and they were watching it on the telly and we had a little chat then and we've got a screenshot of Phoebe like in the bottom corner of the camera and then my face. I'll send it to you. It's wicked. It's really good. So we had that little sort of moment, but apparently they couldn't hear me. I was just frozen. I heard every sort of 50th word I said. But then they sent me a video of Phoebe singing the Yezza song. Oh, so I've got that video. And then today we've gone to my mum and dad's house and each way we've played songs in the car, blasting it out, windows down. And we've done Mateta in the room about 15 times over. And then we've done the Ezra's on Fire song. And we did Glad All Over, driving through Bromley. I went the long way as well, like, you know, the busy way I went to make sure there's so many people. And she was loving it. She's lost her voice doing it so much. So.
Well, yeah. I think what was lovely as well, I mean, obviously I've been able to see a lot of the footage today and, as I say, last night, Mateta with his, is it a selfie stick? It's so funny. I mean, he's such a charismatic guy, isn't he? And it was just, I know, it's just been magical to watch because, again, although they believed, I think you just don't want to allow yourself to believe it's going to happen. And now it has happened. And I'm loving the fact that I don't know how to react because I can tell you, as you say, I was watching the footage again earlier today, Matt, just seeing us lift the cup and I got all upset again. And but I don't care, you know, it's brilliant. And only, I say only football, I'm sure there might be other highs, but it's just an incredible high. And to have done it, and to a big privilege to, we've done the pod, you boys have done it for years, you'll get your OBEs at some point for your services to South London, and you allow me to guest every now and then, and I'm just so proud of what we've gone through with, like, lockdown and doing the pods and that, and we get to do this pod. Obviously, you've done the first two bits today, I've been able to join the third bit, which means the world to me, and to be part of this, because this is all part of our history bubble this weekend, is amazing. So thank you for that on a Sunday night, boys, because it's really an honour to do it with you, boys, always is.
Yeah, you're 100% right, not only just on that, and what you said earlier around, you know, but like you said, the things will come back to you, you know, over the coming days. I've just realised, so when I got in last night at, I don't know what it was, 12:15, with a kebab and sat down to watch the highlights or watch the BBC recording, I've spent £67 on the Palace club shop buying, pre-ordering a mug, and about three T-shirts that were in the, apparently the FA Cup winners' range. So, you know, that's going to be mug. £8 for a mug, just because it says But I didn't care, obviously. I was just like, yeah, cool, let me have some of that. I need to mark this moment by having any sort of memorabilia that I could. And yeah, apparently I've ordered it as well and paid £5 for postage. So looking forward to that turning up.
Can I just say, I know you boys are going to want to wrap it up soon, and I understand that, but we should never wrap this one up. This should go on for days. I just wanted to add quickly. I thought we showed real class that Joel went up and got the cup with Mark. I thought that was absolutely, absolutely class. And for Joel to, you know, be how he was on the pitch with everyone was just wonderful. And the other thing I just wanted to throw in, and this is not to be controversial, but again, you know me, Luke, I'm someone for dates and all that. I'm not going to try and pretend, and I'm not going to be sensible enough to try and Google it. But I can remember 20 years ago in May feeling really flat. And I'll tell you why. It was 20 years ago, May. I don't know what the date was. I'm sure one of you will check it out soon. That Friedman gets us a goal at Charlton, which I think is going to keep us in the Premier League. And then, blow me, Charlton go and get the equaliser, which sends us down. And I can remember thinking 20 years ago, blimey, where's it all going? You know, we've had 1 year where we've got back in and we're straight back down. If you had said to me in 20 years' time, you're going to win the FA Cup, I'd almost be taking it. And you're also going to have 13, 12 seasons in the Premier League. I think I would have taken it, boys. So I just wanted to throw that, because that point came to me today when I was thinking about where time flies and how long. Because the number of people who said to me yesterday, I've been going to Palace. I spoke to a gentleman who'd been going since 1969. He'd driven up from Plymouth yesterday, you know, and people who've been with their dads, their grandparents, and it's just so many wonderful stories. What was also really lovely was some of the boys on the train going home who didn't know, saying, guys saying to me, punch me in the face, mate. I need to know whether I'm dreaming or not. It's just such lovely chat, you know, and it's inane, it's harmless, but it's fun, and it was lovely. And it will be that day, what you boys have said you experienced last night in the bar, me coming home in the train, the underground, everything. It's all part of the football. And isn't it nice, Luke, for once to say a beautiful day out of the football, enhanced by the football, not ruined by the football?
Right. 100%. And I've just realised that I've got the 1990, obviously, FA Cup shirt signed by Ian Wright right behind me. And I like to think that this shirt here, you know, people are going to have this. Or maybe I'll have it. Hopefully I will have it signed by Ebru Eze in a frame. And, you know, that's going to not only be in my my house, but a Palace fans' house across the world. You know, there were fans there, you know, from every part of the globe yesterday, which, you know, shows how much this club has sort of grown and reached. And I appreciate, you know, people born in South London will move away anyway, but I think there are people who also, or I know there are people who, you know, are not from South London but chose Palace as their club and went to the game yesterday. And that's incredible, isn't it, as well, when you think about that on that scale, that, you know, maybe in Australia in 20 years' time, there's going to be someone with a signed Ebru Eze FA Cup 2025 shirt in their office. And that makes me very happy.
Maybe even in Austria. You never know as well, hey? What do you reckon?
Kev, you made a couple of really important points. I really don't want to get lost, right? So I also thought today about the people who weren't here,
yeah,
but have supported Palace and have been there and been through some really difficult times supporting Palace, right? And this is for them as much as us as well, right? Because they're all part of the Palace family and journey, right?
Well said.
And I thought about a lot of people that, you know, I mean, the gentleman who took me to my first ever Palace game was someone that minor Luke's dad and granddad worked with, and he very kindly took me in 1991 to Palace Notts County. Marco Gabbiadini scored the goal on New Year's Day. 1991 it was, sorry, yeah. And if it wasn't for John taking me to that game, you know, who knows? So, yeah, and he's unfortunately no longer with us. But, yeah, it's for those people as well, right?
Yeah.
And also, linked to that family point, you said about Mateta. You asked me about my daughter, Phoebe. She loves Mateta. She thinks he's absolutely crazy and he's so funny. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, I was watching them. They were interviewing the goalkeeper and Mateta comes up and said, oh, he's the best or he's the man or something like that." And I've seen all that today and I've sort of pictured Phoebe sitting there watching it, you know, laughing about it. And then I've seen all the other footage of him like going up the steps and where like the guy's putting the memory stick in the camera. He's like, "What's wrong with it? What's the matter? He's crazy." It's so funny. He's just hilarious. And he's just like, he is Palace. And also his journey epitomises it, doesn't it? Because he came in, everyone thought he was a donkey, you know, he's never going to make anything. He was written off, they were going to flog him, you know, and he scored the hat-trick, didn't he, away at Plymouth. Yep. And that kind of seemed to be the turning point for him. And like, it's just, that's such a Palace story, you know, written off. No one gave us a chance. Well, there he is, this FA Cup, and his mum was there as well, and he was, you know, passing the trophy. That's so Palace.
But you say that, Matt, and if I may, Luke, if I can just come in there, if I may, mate. Sorry, just quickly before I forget it, because obviously at my age, I forget things quite quickly. So just to talk about Mateta. So one of the things that I just had me in stitches last night as we were walking back, the number of ear masks I saw had on, which just thought, I can't believe someone. Could you imagine going into a shop and saying, "I need this ear mask. What have you done to your ear, sir?" "Nothing. I just need to look like one."
I said to Luke, we should have mass produced them and stood on Wembley Way. Because you would have made so much money.
You would have made a fortune. So there's one thing. The other thing I want to say just very quickly on that, we conceded one goal. We conceded one goal in the FA Cup this season.
Yeah.
And I just want to just take a moment on Eze. So some of the footage, as I say, I've watched the ITV footage as well. My son recorded it for me. You've never seen my eyes light up so much when I saw that there was 4 hours, 15 minutes of ITV. Yeah. So I've got about 15 minutes to go, and then I'm going to do that after this anyway, right? So I'm watching that footage, right? And I think it's Gabrielle Clark, the reporter, who's very good. He's been doing it for a long time. Really like him. And he was talking to Eze, and they were talking about him just on Eze. So you think, right? He scored in the quarterfinal. I think he scored against Stockport. He scored in the semi-final. He scored in the final. And they were saying about his journey. So he was released by Arsenal at 13. Apparently, he cried in his bedroom for a week. He then got released by 4 London academies and released by Reading. And this guy's gone to QPR and then come to Palace, and look at his. And they said it epitomises the South London spirit of you never give up, you keep fighting. And actually, not every coach will fancy you, but actually, you know, they were saying about his style and what he does. And when you look at his exuberance, his happiness last night, I'm just so proud of him, them, and what they represent, because actually, it's an amazing feel-good story. And actually, believe it or not, I know you boys most of you won't want to hear this, but I've had Charlton fans, I've had Millwall fans all saying, "Really pleased for you, actually." So, you know, I think even some quite tough bound, I've not had any Brighton fans saying that, I'll be honest with you, but I have had those, and I think that's a really nice touch, because I think that shows a bit of class when you can go beyond some of these boundaries and say, "Do you know what, well done, guys." So I just thought I'd throw that in, because there's so many amazing stories that have come out in the last 28 hours, and I love it.
I've got some more good news for you, Kim. I don't know if you're aware, but on the BBC iPlayer, there's like another 15 minutes that after they went off on, you know, on TV, there's another 15 minutes extra. So if you haven't watched that was a little surprise for me when I watched back the full version that I'd recorded. And they said, "Oh, you know, we're going back on iPlayer now." And I was like, "Brilliant, got a search for that." And I sat there and watched for that next 25 minutes or whatever it was.
If any more Palace, after this bit I've told my wife I will watch, which is the ITV footage, I'm going to have to wait till everyone else is asleep, else I will be wearing a frying pan, and I don't fancy that tonight. On that note, he's thinking, where do we go from there?
I was actually just thinking about the day as a whole, and like how, like the whole thing, I'll never forget that day, even though we did get through lots of drink yesterday. We were the reverse of you, Kev. Blimey, we didn't celebrate with cups of tea. I mean, Luke bought us Jaeger bombs. I've had one then for decades.
Of course he did. Can you
remember that?
Can you answer me one question though, Matt? Did you have dough balls and did you have your app?
We did. All part of it, mate.
Made the day, didn't it, Matt?
All part of the day, right? It's all part of our DNA, that is. That's all part of our DNA when we go to Wembley, isn't it? Brilliant, mate.
I didn't have a dinner. I didn't even dinner last night. No dinner at all last night. I was so full up from the Pizza Express in Baker Street we had. I don't know. It just like, but even that, right? That's part of the routine now, isn't it? Back from what 2016 or whatever it was, and 2016? No, 2020.
Yeah.
16. No, I didn't come 2016, did I? What
yeah, what Chelsea we went to Watford together, didn't we?
Oh yeah, cool.
We started at Watford, sorry, and then you did obviously Chelsea in 2022. Yeah.
Yeah. But even those parts of the routine, I mean, yeah, it's just, like, where do we go? I mean, Kev, I don't know if you heard when you popped off to get the ball, that me and Luke were talking about the other thing we haven't actually really looked at is the other thing we get from this is Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
Crystal Palace in Europe.
Right. Well, Luke, I think you said the draw's on the 29th of August, didn't it?
I think that's right. I need to double check it, but I believe that's correct because there's different draws for qualifying rounds, but Palace, I understand Palace go straight into the league phase. They're qualified straight away. So we miss all the qualifications. We go straight into league phase. I believe that draw is the 29th of August. So put that in your calendars because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to watch a UEFA draw before. They're pretty dull, but this one, I think I'll be recording it. I'll be watching it on different platforms and it will be the most interesting I've ever been in a UEFA Cup draw.
Well, it's my 56th birthday that day, boys, so don't forget, eh?
Oh, nice. Perfect timing.
That's why I knew that day. I knew that.
August, don't you forget.
So does this mean then we get at least three games in Europe?
Well, it's more than that, isn't it? Because of the new structure of so it mirrors the Champions League and the Europa League Conference League. So you get, I think you're guaranteed,
is it
six games, I think? I think they're evenly split home and away, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Who cares? Let's take the Hendo approach to an interview. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, mate? Yeah, yeah. Well, that was quite interesting. I must admit, when they were trying to get on that hook, weren't they, about the handball or whatever it was? I mean, like you said, Rob, at the time, a bit like the penalty, it was completely innocuous to me. I just thought Haaland had sort of knocked it away. I didn't even know that Henderson had got a touch. I don't quite understand why it wasn't drawn back if it was a handball and whatever it is, but yeah, like Dean Henderson says, who cares? And I think that, you know, you need that a little bit of luck between any game, and Palace had that luck, and we also had the hard work and determination. So it was all the factors coming in to create that performance. And if that's a little bit of luck we need, yeah, whatever. I couldn't care less. You know, we deserve that. 100%, you know, even with 12% possession, what it was.
Do you know, there's something that comes from that, though, and it's probably something linked to how Glasner and the team coach them, is that mentality, that mindset of it's done, move on from it, is something that's, you know, we all think about it in life. You know, something bad happens, you know, you know, obviously severe things, you need the time to, you know, process them and stuff, but many things in life that we spend a lot of time wasting, worrying, you know, procrastinating, is going over, just to move on. And that clearly is part of the mindset that they've been trained to have. It's something's happened, move on. That doesn't influence the future, right? You decide the future. And that must be something massive in how they have been.
That's a winner's mentality, isn't it? It's that completely, you know, and the Parish alluded to that, you know, saying that when, you know, they brought in Glasner, he's changed this mentality around the club. And that is just part of it, you know. It's a bit like anything in life, you know, controlling the controllables. Don't worry about what you can't control. You know, Kev, you and I, we talked about that.
Not me.
God knows how many years ago now.
Yeah.
Things like that. And if you're able to compartmentalise and focus on what matters and what you can impact and what you can affect, that means that Palace players can impact on winning the FA Cup.
And do you know what I think is really interesting? I mean, I know we've not really talked about Oliver, Ollie Glasner at the moment around it. But what I quite like, and, you know, when the City players, because there were some quite naughty fouls they put in, a lot of them went unpunished. Now, I'm not knocking it, but that was coming out of frustration from their players. Now, when that's happening, you know that you've started to get under their skin. that actually plays to our advantage. But I do think a lot of that comes, and you know, I don't think for one moment, you know, Ollie Glasner was playing, you know, what I would call like Fergie mind games back in the day. But he did, you know, he was very clear, wasn't he? If you don't change your tactics, we will work our way out, and we will. And I bet you that got under. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I bet that got under Pep's skin, and actually, from that point of view, I think that's why he was so riled. You know, you've already alluded to it, Luke, a little while ago. I think, for I understand, you know, he was basically saying that's not how you win a game of football, you know, by wasting time. And well, actually, you didn't break us down, and we played to our strengths. You played to your strengths, and our strength was to hit you on the break and actually defend. Let's be honest, they defended like complete warriors, every one of them. You know, when you get two guys ending up in hospital, was it with a potential eye socket injury? And did you? I take it you saw the post of Adam Walton, didn't you? In his gown. I believe we won the FA Cup or something today. You know, amazing. You know, that to me is, you know, Glasner's possibly got inside Pep's head, you know, in relation to it. And it came out on the pitch because they didn't have the answers to break us down. End of. So... well done.
I was really worried, I must have, when he said that. And then when I knew we could draw in Man City in the final, I was worried. But a bit like the mentality thing we were talking about, this has been a shift now. But, you know, I'm so used to Palace coming second or close. You know, when he said that, I thought, it's going to come and bite us in the arse again, isn't it? But I think that bit of, I don't know if you call it arrogance, but confidence and just that again, willing mentality. We've now got a manager and a set of players that can say things like that and it not come and bite you in the arse, because we are actually a very, very good team and deservedly won the game. And they've got that confidence in themselves to go out and execute a plan against, you know, a club with endless wealth and riches and quality. And little old Crystal Palace just wouldn't let him break through, you know. And it was perfect, really, really well. I'm struggling with words again, but that was very special.
One of the commentators captured it quite well. I think it was on the BBC guy at the end. He said the Glaziers, the team that formerly known as the Glaziers, have broken through the glass ceiling. I thought, there you go. That's actually quite nice.
And that feels poetic,
isn't it? There you go.
I think also the goal, I mean, the goal is another good example of Palace in action, right? Smash and grab, on the break, aggressive front foot, you know, obviously a long ball up. Donnachie Kamada he's not getting enough credit for his role in that goal. I mean, Mateta, I mean, fantastic ball from Richard. Mateta does amazingly to hold it up. The layoff to Kamada, and then the 1-2, and the ball that Kamada plays back to Mateta, it's fantastic. I mean, he was brilliant yesterday. He's been fantastic the last few games. And then obviously, you know, like the rawness of Munoz down the wing and then the ball into the box and the flick finish. It's just, that is a Palace goal. And to kind of the point about like where we could go. I mean, I know, Luke, we listened to the 5-year plan podcast, big them guys up, they absolutely smash it. Adam Sells on that always talks about this. Palace with Elise, the team now with Elise in it, in the league would be a lot higher.
They
would probably be top six. Like, and that's how close Palace are. So if you think about it, I know we're not going to talk too much in detail about it, but as you mentioned, Kev, but like this team with some additions and keeping the core of it together, goodness me, it could have a go at Europe next year.
Yeah.
And absolutely. We have to supplement, because we won't be able to do Europe and the league. We won't do a 12th finish easily if we have a good run in Europe. The squad will be too stretched. So we have to supplement this summer.
You will see some additions of quality, and that's exciting. But I also think think about the players who have, you know, done really well in either like the under-21s or those kids who have been out on loan. You know, I mean, I appreciate that, you know, it's a big ask for Owen Goodman and Joe Whitworth to come into the Palace team. But you've got to think that any players that are on the fringes of the first team now, maybe they've joined in training, things like that, they've got to think, right, there's going to be X number of games more now. Even if I used to get on the bench for these games, you know, if I can get involved in, there's an opportunity, and that might drive them forward. And I appreciate, you know, we probably won't see the fruits of this new academy and the investment for maybe another 10 years or so. But that's exciting, and that'll create a buzz in the team and in the squad. But yeah, in terms of the incomings, I said last night in that bar, bruv, that just as important as that, like you said, we keep that core of squad together. The fact that now you can say to Mark Gay, you can say to Eze, you can say to Mateta that, all right, you know, had we not won the FA Cup, we probably might have said goodbye, and there'd be a bigger club who is playing in Europe. But now we are that team playing in Europe, and you know, we can guarantee you European football next year. So this go and win some games in the Europa League together, and you know, they're have a word with their mates, and you know, and they say, "Oi, Lionel Messi, do you fancy one more season at Celeste?"
Oh dear.
Well, actually, to that point, I mean, the reverse of the age scale is that, you know, Crystal Palace, from a fan base perspective, like you guys have alluded to, becomes a lot more attractive proposition. It was so nice seeing, you know, the mixture of people at the game yesterday, and then see it back on the telly today. You know, all ethnicities, ages. It's lovely. And the other thing I think about is I drove past the training ground and the academy today. I went down Cobus Cope, and Phoebe was cheering, we were shouting. I mean, the Eagles went past them. But you look up at that academy structure is so impressive, right? So you're now the FA Cup holders, Crystal Palace, 25 winners of the FA Cup, I'll say it again. And as young lads, you know, the top talent in and around the area, it's another reason to come and be at Palace and not go to an Arsenal or a Chelsea or someone else. Yep. Right? It just all adds up to the journey. And like, the one man we haven't mentioned today, I don't think we have mentioned him, Steve Parrish. Mate.
Well, he did say a couple of years ago, we're going to take this club to the next level. And maybe this is that next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's a really good article, as I say, on the ITV coverage before the game yesterday about Steve. And it's a really nice, if you get chance to, I don't know, what is it? Is it ITV? You get chance to look at.
It's on YouTube as well, Kev. I've seen that, yeah.
It's a really, I think, a really nice article about Steve, and you know, the, you know, how it came in, what he's done, and yeah, I listen. He doesn't get enough credit. We know that, but Steve Parrish, being Steve Parrish, doesn't really want the credit because he's that kind of guy. You know, in my view, he quite likes doing his work quietly. He does what he does, and he does it brilliantly. I think, you know, it's easy to say that when we've just done what we've done, but he's, you know, he has, and that's why I thought what he said on the BBC footage with Lineker and Glenn Murray, and I think it was Rooney, and who was the other guy there?
Richards,
who wasn't bitter at all about Palace winning. You know, I think, you know, he said it brilliantly then, you know, for all the people who support you, this is for them, and it's for those fans, and that's it, isn't it? You know, he's a credit, but I think, let's be honest, let's not lose sight, when a few years ago, nothing to do with Palace, when there was talk of the Super League and all that stuff going on, Parrish got loads of credit from a lot of people for the way he stood up to some of that stuff. I can remember Gary Neville and that saying how good Steve Parrish was, how eloquent he was. I mean, didn't he go on Question Time once?
Yeah.
And stuff, you know. So this is, you know, I don't wish to sound like an absolute clown, but he's the man of the people. And I think people, again, it goes back to that authenticity. And he is, you get what you see. As he said, he doesn't speak with a plum in his mouth. He's from South London and he's proud. And, you know, that's it. Sorry, Luke, over to you.
No, it's just, you mentioned the Super League there. And Kevin, I don't know if you'll be familiar with this. There's a very famous Palace Twitter account that's known for sort of wind-ups. And it's put out a tweet today saying, exclusive, Steve Parrish has accepted an invitation, Crystal Palace, to replace Spurs in the Big Six in a move that will also see Palace joined the European Super League. Parrish has reversed his position on the controversial breakaway competition. Our Palace are established as massive.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Brilliant. Oh, dear, boys.
Even the jokes are a different level now.
Yeah.
Jokes are a different level. You do know at some point, boys, we are going to have to go to sleep. you know, I know you most.
Mate, my body's telling me that. Goodness me, I must have 4 hours sleep. I'm lucky.
It was telling me that last night, but I couldn't sleep. It was just too much adrenaline, I think. I mean, obviously the booze and whatever earth Ian fed us in that pub as well. Probably did it. That was awful. But and the half-eaten kebab which I tried to eat whilst watching the game back. But yeah, I hope I'll sleep well tonight because I feel like I need it. And I'll wake up in the morning, the sun will be shining in South London. You know, I'll be working from home tomorrow, and I'll be looking forward to joining Teams calls and having me Palace shirts in the background and talking about the game.
Well, mate, that sounds like a perfect way to start a Monday, doesn't it, eh? How was your weekend? That's what we normally have. It's the weekend review, isn't it? It's, you know, it's how was your weekend? Well, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I've had better days on a Saturday, yeah.
What are you going to say tomorrow, Kev?
Hey?
What are you going to say tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, Ems has got training tomorrow night down at Cobham, so I'm wearing this bad boy, let me tell you. That's coming with me all the way tomorrow night, let me tell you. I'm working from home tomorrow, mate, because we've got a big event coming up this week. So it's going to be a full-on week, but can't complain. I won't mind the calls tomorrow morning. What about you guys? Luke is obviously working from home.
I'm going in. I might wear Palace kit.
You know what? Can I just say very quickly, I saw a lot of FKWs yesterday who were obviously doing it on purpose, and it was hilarious. It was... Yeah. It was so funny, and a lot of them were really old boys in the old full kit. It was just hilarious. I loved it.
I think it's acceptable on Cup Final day and today when Palace, you know, no matter how old you are, you can wear a Palace shirt, you know. Yeah.
No. These were the full kit scenario, my friend.
Well, I think that's fine now as well, yeah. I think Matthew needs to dust off his boots, and it's going to be a bit slippery going down the London Bridge tube stairs in the morning, but... Yeah, do it for us, bruv. Do it for the Palace.
Do you know what, Kev? I wore my shirt that it's become my Wembley shirt now. And there we go. It's you might have seen my Lombardo number 7 shirt from 1996, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. Like the joke yesterday was like it's still big on me now. So when I was like 13 years old, it must have been absolutely huge.
Yeah, grow into it. It's one of them, wasn't it? Get him an XXL. We'll fill it out.
I'll let you know. Listen, mate, every shirt feels big on me. I'm not going to lie to you, mate.
Oh, dear. I don't want to end this, but I think it's probably a good point to leave it here. Like you said, we could talk all night about this.
Yeah, but listen, boys. What? All I can say from your point of view, I know you'll close this off the normal way you always do, Matt, but just take a moment tonight, because I didn't do it last night. We mostly did it in pockets all the way through and the tears and all that. But just take a moment to actually step back and think about what has happened. Just 1 minute where you take that step back and actually look at what has actually happened and just have that quiet moment where you really think about it, because it won't ever get to feel any better than this. I'm sure there will be other moments now for Palace and potentially... But it will never feel... It's like when they say it's only live once. You will only ever feel this way once, because this is the first time your team has ever won a major trophy in their history. So no other Palace fan gets to feel... We only all get to feel this feeling once. So soak it up, boys. Soak it up.
Great advice. Look, to everyone who's listened to this, this is going to be about an hour and a half worth of podcast, I think, isn't it, bruv?
Yeah, I won't edit this, but I think I need to do some editing, maybe just for the language from the post-match one, where we were notably and understandably very excited.
I didn't swear at all.
No, we were, I think there was it was probably Ian in the pub, but yeah, we need to do a slight bit of editing for that. But yeah, probably about an hour and a half. But I think it's probably one that I'm going to enjoy listening back to many times. You know, the Wembley concourse, the pub afterwards. You know, the noise. Although don't bang on the tables, the bouncers will come and see you. You know, it was a special moment, a time which will live with me forever. And I thought this was the good times, but maybe the good times only just started, and they're going to keep getting better from here, bruv. And yeah, this, as Kev says, this enjoy this moment. Look forward to the open top bus parade.
Oh.
You know, look forward to getting these shirts printed with winners 25 in that gold font, framing that shirt forever.
And drinking out of your £8 mug.
I'd have the best cup of tea I've ever had in my £8 mug. If I ever smash that, I'm going to be pissed.
Don't smash it, mate. Order another five with your shirts.
Contingency.
Oh dear.
Oh mate, well, we get so glad all over officially today, don't we? That's for sure. Yeah.
And listen, if you end up sending that pod tonight, mate, I'm listening to it tonight. I'm going to bed at 3 a.m. I don't care.
I can't promise it, mate. I'll see what I can do.
Look, to everyone who's listened to this, thank you for sticking with us. We hope you had an amazing weekend, certainly like we did. Thanks to everyone who gets in touch. I know, Luke, the inbox has gone mental with, you know, all the lovely messages from people all over the world who listen to this and follow the Palace and get involved when we do these podcasts. We're not as consistent by any means as we used to be and well should be, but you know, we really appreciate everyone who does listen. Thank you. You're now listening to an official FA Cup winners podcast. So like Kev said, I haven't had to say that before. At Six Pointer Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Guys, any last remarks before we finish off in the fitting and only way?
Thank you, Crystal Palace, for giving me highs, lows. And thank you for meaning that when I do eventually leave this world, I can leave it knowing that I saw my team win a major trophy, which I never thought would happen. So thank you.
Right. Can't add anything to that other than to say, as always,
Up the Palace.
The Six Pointer Podcast.